Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday, Friday Eve edition, a happier happy hour. Dom gets happier right now. We got a fine guest joining live via video. He is former U.S. Attorney James Santel. He is host of the Morning Cannoli on the Saturday morning. And Jim, just for the record, counselor, is it cannoli or cannolis?
You know, we have to figure this linguistic question out, but we will do that maybe after we solve some other problems in the state of Wisconsin and in our United States of America. But it's on the list. It is on the list, I assure you.
Jim, so very nice to have seen you. I think it was Tuesday night at a Blue Sky Waukesha event. You graciously spoke and then gave me a little introduction. And I got to tell you, Jim, you called me your boss, and I almost did a spit take. More humorous words have never been uttered, Jim. Hardly, but we do appreciate you coming round, counselor.
We're always after the laughter, right? So pursuing that on Tuesday. Good to see you also, Mike, and a good community event as well.
It was. It well attended, and good victuals and nice house and all that kind of stuff. Jim, the former president of the United States in the midst of a fraud trial, and I thought he was under gag, and now I understand maybe an appellate court has removed the gag, so he's back out posting, according to thehill.com. Here is what he's saying at the last. Why doesn't the implosion of the AG of New York's star witness in this witch hunt? And I think he's referring to the Michael Cohen testimony, right? He admitted on the stand that he lied and that I never told him. And this part's all caps, Jim. I never told him or anyone else to inflate the numbers. And then he goes on. In fact, the numbers are low or very conservative. The exact opposite of what this ridiculous rigged case is all about. The fraud by the judge and the AG, Mar-a-Lago and more. The former president added, not by me. So, Jim, should he or shouldn't he be trash-talking on the Truthy Social today?
He should not be. Again, what's happening here, of course, is that Judge Engoron, who is, the New York judge who's presiding over this, has said that he is prohibited from engaging in this kind of conduct. When it comes to court staff, certainly identifying his own clerk, which was a problem in the past, and also talking generally about witnesses, other things related to the trial. The rule on this generally is you're not stopping him from maintaining that he is innocent. If he wants to do that, he can complain about the fact, as he believes, that the civil complaint was improperly brought, even go so far as to say there's not sufficient evidence. But when it comes to doing more broad things like this, including the things that he has said in the other trials as well. He's also getting in trouble, as we know, with Judge Tanya Chutkan in Washington, D.C. That matter also the subject of a so-called restrictive or gag order there. He shouldn't be out there doing this, because the general principle is what you're doing is you're affecting, obviously, the rule of law. For those cases that have not yet gone ahead to trial, you're potentially impacting the witnesses. You're potentially impacting the jury pool, which is a real concern when it comes to that Washington, D.C. case as well. All this has been much bandied about and argument in front of the judges. And again, no other defendant, no other criminal defendant, no other civil defendant would be permitted to do this. He has been given an awful lot of rope, if you will, a lot of length here to go down this road, because I think judges are aware of the fact he's running for the presidency and has this bully pulpit out there. Even so, as Judge Chutkan has said, should be treated like any other defendant in her court, in this court in New York, shouldn't be doing this at all.
Jim, over 200 defense witnesses could be called? I mean, I'm sort of losing track of who's giving testimony next and why, but I know the defense led with Donald Trump Jr., and he had already been forced, compelled to give some testimony before the judge, under question by the AG's team. Do you think he accomplished anything from the reporting we've seen from the courtroom? Did he make any ground up? Did he create any more solid ground on which to stand?
It certainly didn't seem that way. Again, it seemed to me, and I think to many people, that his principal purpose up there was to tell everyone how wonderful his father is. Talked about how he was a genius, how these structures are absolutely magnificent. Mar-a-Lago's one of the great constructs in American architecture, all that
kind of thing. The Louvre of construction.
Yes, exactly, right?
The Louvre.
That may be interesting. I think it also wears on the judge also. Not relevant how one independently, personally feels about the grandiosity of a particular piece of real estate. The question, once again, is knowing that there's already been fraud, there's been a finding of fraud already made by the judge, what was the intent of the players, including Donald Trump Jr., his brother Eric, and yes, Donald Trump himself, other players in that? And then not only tying that intent to this conduct of fraud, but also figuring out, as we're now in the midst of, figuring out how much money the state of New York should get as a result of this. We now have these series of financial folks, these bankers coming in, talking about their relationship with Donald Trump. Well, I think the significant thing takeaway in the defense case now underway is they're staying far away from the documents themselves. This is a documents case. And Donald Trump, I think, has already been convicted civilly, if you will, for engaging in the fraud that Judge Engoron found. Also, those documents speak to intent, speak to the level of fraud conducted here. The attorneys are wisely trying to put that behind them and instead talk about these larger issues, about the fact that there was no intent here. Oh, and by the way, it was the bankers who did this. They should have done their due diligence. The lawyers were the ones who were responsible for this, as the sons have said, diverting attention and focusing on other things other than the factual findings made by the judge already, and trying, I think, unsuccessfully, to break that tie between the fraud and their own involvement in it.
Folks, you're listening to The Devil's Advocate. James Santel, former U.S. Attorney, host of Morning Cannoli here on the network Saturdays at 9 to 11 a.m. Jim, always a pleasure to talk to you, man. The Georgia case, yes. Proffer videos released. One of the RICO defendant's attorneys released the videos of Jenna Ellis and the Kraken Lady and Cheese Bro. And I wanted to get your sense, number one, and Fannie Willis is asking for a protective order. I believe she got it to limit these things from happening again. Number one, based on the content of those videos, Jim, how's it looking for Donald Trump from your opinion?
It's not looking. There are variations. I think Jenna Ellis perhaps taking her role as a cooperative a bit more serious than Sidney Powell, maybe, for example. Scott Hall, who is this bail bondsman, also testifying. Ken Chesbrough, not quite as compelling, trying to maybe minimize his own involvement, maybe throwing a few bones to Donald Trump. But they're all plainly cooperating. They're providing statements. And they know now that if they engage in knowingly false representations about what happened, they're going to be in trouble. The significant issue here, Dom, is just as you described it. Let's name the lawyer. His name is Jonathan Miller. In my profession, not at all pleased by this. He's representing this Coffee County Elections supervisor named Misty Hampton. She's among the remaining 15 defendants in this case. And he says stunningly that, the things that I released, they were helpful. They did not, I don't believe that those hurt my client. If anything, I believe they help my client. The public needs to know what is in these tapes. Well, the answer is just the opposite. And that's why Fannie Willis has responded. And the judge has also responded by establishing, again, Scott McAfee is his name, establishing one of these orders that says, you know what, you can't be doing this. You can't be releasing what is basically provided to the defense as discovery. And again, to follow up on Mike's good question at the top of the segment here, what is the norm here? What happens is that prosecutors in criminal cases, civil cases as well, especially criminal cases, provide all of the evidence to the defendant. And that's what Fonnie Willis has done. And I'm producing these additional tapes that are a part of the cooperating witnesses here and producing that so that there is fairness in the process. It is not intended for public release. That's not the purpose behind it. I will tell you, if this had happened again in federal court in my former practice and other settings here, there would be a whole lot of trouble going on here. And the fact that the attorney says, well, I'm doing this because the public has a right to know. The public has a right to a fair and just trial. That is not enhancing this. And again, you have to believe that he's doing it not to establish something on behalf of his client, or maybe only indirectly, but really leading into that and supporting that notion. You got to kind of provide some information to the public, to the base that's out there for Donald Trump and other people, showing that these folks are cooperating. And arguably, once again, getting back to the issue that Mike asked before as well, arguably encouraging some threats and some direction toward them. If people see that these folks are cooperating and they're huge Trump supporters, that's the kind of thing that you're afraid of once again. This is bad from start to finish. Good for Judge McAfee to say no more. It should have been in place before. And frankly, this attorney knew better. There may be other attorneys. There's some inkling that there are others out there also provided these materials to other outlets out there. All of them should be chastised. And the fact that there was an order imposed later after they did this doesn't absolve them of responsibility for violating what I think are the fundamental principles when it comes to provision of discovery and keeping that information close to the chest for the purposes of your defense, which you can do vigorously, but not in the public domain.
You're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Our fine guest, the ever gracious James Santel. Counselor, I guarantee I didn't ask any of those thoughtful or intelligent questions you attribute to me, sir. The Jenna Ellis, not going to leave. We talked about intent. Jim, when we come back, I want you to give me more thought about how this demonstrates the intent of Donald Trump and the fact that it's Dan Scapino. It's not really direct evidence. It's hearsay evidence, right? I'd like you to talk about the admissibility of this specific piece of evidence that I've now played for the audience. We did it yesterday. We called them the Kraken tapes, but the Jenna Ellis tape is really quite a bit more interesting. Kind of like him.
We'll talk about that. Me. And we'll talk about hearsay too, right after the break, I assume.
And you'll give me credit for more great questions that I absolutely hardly even have to ask. More Devil's Advocates. Just might get some sleep
tonight. The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Make sure you download the Civic Media app. You can go to civicmedia.us. You can also find the Devil's Advocates there for podcasts and interviews.
Dom, we got a fine guest. He's stuck around. He's the host of the Morning Cannoli on the Saturday mornings right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, 9 to 11 a.m. Jim, appreciate you sticking around. Intent. The Jenna Ellis tape, it was leaked to the public, and, you know, the squabbling over whether or not it should, that's someone else's problem. I'm glad it was, Jim, because it demonstrates the intent of the boss. And everybody knows the boss was Trump, and everybody now knows the boss had no intent of vacating the White House. They just weren't going to leave. You and what army, right? And she said, but that's not how it works. He said, you know, I paraphrase, but effectively, now it does.
We don't care.
We don't care. Jim, your thoughts about what you've, I'm sure, heard on the greatest radio show ever and perhaps in other media outlets.
Principally through the wonderful broadcasts, including this one of Civic Media, of course. Two things, and you hit on both of them. One is, why is this important? And then we'll do a little bit of law school stuff too, which we often do here on Devil's Advocates, right? The reason is, as you just subtly or perhaps implicitly indicated, what is the intent? If Donald Trump honestly, genuinely believe, which is what his lawyers are sort of advocating or indicating will be his defense, that he genuinely believed the election had been stolen and that this was not about any intent to undermine the process of voting, the counting of the electoral votes on January 6th, those kinds of things. Then he's got, he doesn't have a good defense, but at least it's arguably within the ambit of something you would argue to a jury. Here, that what Jenna Ellis and presumably others are saying is we told him expressly that he had lost, and he told us effectively that doesn't matter. That's not my consideration. He wasn't fighting with him about what he'd lost or not. He was basically saying, I am staying in power. It is not at all about my vindication of some justice-related or democracy-related issue having to do with the future of our republic. It's all about me. And that goes to the intent. That's why it's such a damning piece of evidence. Presumably, she'll testify about that during the trial. And here's the law school part of this. And it's the other piece that I suspect people will revel in. Yes, this is Jenna Ellis, who is there in the room talking directly to the defendant, which is the key here. She is now a cooperating witness. She will take the stand and she will say, that person, Donald Trump, who's sitting right there at counsel table, told me these things. You might say, well, gee, that's hearsay. How does that come in? The answer is, it does come in. It is not hearsay, believe it or not, because under the rules, you're talking about statements attributed to a party opponent. This is the defendant whose words are coming out of this other person. And you can describe it, if you will, colloquially as an exception to the hearsay principle. It comes in, and everybody knows that. And that's why this particular rendition from Jenna Ellis, and presumably others, will be a part of the trial whenever it happens in Georgia, another topic. But it will come in, and it is completely inculpating when it comes to that intent issue. This is not good news for Donald Trump at all.
Fonnie Willis says this trial will not end before the election. She says it will drag into 2025. Our understanding, Lena Haba is the attorney for Trump. The Eileen Cannon, she's giving every indication she might be in the tank for Trump. So I have less confidence that that trial is going forward, and that probably offers the clearest evidence. I mean, he's seemingly so guilty of this. We've seen the photos, Jim.
Right.
But the Jack Smith, the J6, the crimes perhaps alleged and perhaps soon to be proven against the former president, I'm putting all my hope in this trial because this is the big enchilada, Jim. This is the underlying crime as far as I'm concerned. The evidence we've seen, the Jenna Ellis tape, does Jack Smith get to utilize this evidence as well or call her as a witness? And do you expect he will?
Right. And that is the question here. Again, this is just speculation. The reality is that, again, the so-called the insurrection trial, the January 6th, the voting trial, I'm scheduled to go in the District of Columbia in March. Just as the election, the campaign is ramping up at the same period of time. Interestingly, almost the same time as the New York hush money case in Manhattan is also scheduled. So lots of things happening in March of this coming year. But absolutely, the law enforcement can and does routinely share evidence. It would be interesting to know, and we've talked about this before in this very good broadcast, whether or not, and I assume they are, that the attorneys who are representing the Jenna Ellis's and the Ken Chesbros and the Sidney Powells and the Scott Halls of the world have also got to be chatting, I assume, with the federal authorities. And I was actually sort of surprised that they cut a deal on the state system and the state prosecution without wrapping up something there. Now, they're not charged. They're not charged in the federal case. And Jack Smith has some discretion there, but presumably, at least some of those folks we know are on the list of the unindicted co-conspirators in that case going to trial in March, the January 6th federal case. And so highly likely that there is some communication among the attorneys there, including the investigators and the prosecutors themselves. They don't have to coordinate amongst each other, especially since we've got a federal case and a state case. Some of them indicated even that we know each other, we talk from time to time, but we're not coordinating. They don't have to do that, but nothing prevents them from sharing that sort of thing. And there may be some agreements about the uses to which some of these tapes, these recordings are provided. But you have to believe once again that Jack Smith, even though he is equally outraged by the release of these tapes into the public domain, is also recording all of them. And can, in fact, in that trial, in the January 6th trial in the federal court, he can call these witnesses himself and also solicit from them, elicit from them, the testimony they're also providing now in the state system, whether that's a cooperation situation, whether that is compelled testimony. They could also, of course, invoke the Fifth Amendment. Curious, because they're already waiving their Fifth Amendment in the state case. Lots and lots of issues here. But the short answer is yes, this can be a part of a federal presentation too, as well as the state case going ahead at some time later this year and into 2025. I agree with you. The January 6th one coming up sooner. Donald Trump, the singular defendant, four counts in that case. We're focusing on him and his conduct. We don't have to deal with other defendants in that case. It's just that focus on what he did and those four very, very compelling accounts set forth in that very, very compelling talking indictment that we've also chatted about in the past.
James Santel, former U.S. attorney, last 30 seconds. Nevada, Arizona, Michigan, Georgia, yes, investigating the fraudulent electors. What's going on in Wisconsin, sir?
As far as we know, our attorney general continues to say, I will neither confirm nor deny the existence of an investigation. That's the last I heard. Disappointing. He can actually provide that information because it's a matter of public interest, the otherwise principle that attaches there. We will look forward, and we've talked about this on this show, on the Saturday morning broadcast. There's a statutory basis in Wisconsin to do it. He's got the authority to do it. He's got the facts to do it here. He should follow Nevada. We should follow those other jurisdictions that have similarly charged or at least investigating the fake electors in their states.
You find people should follow Jim Santel on the morning cannoli, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11, right here on WMDX and WAUK, the Shaw. Jim, thanks for coming around, my friend.
Thanks, Jim.
Always a great pleasure, gentlemen. Have a good Thursday afternoon.
Thank you. More Devil's Advocates. The rest of you, stick around. 844-967-2789. Time for your calls.
I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. James Santel, often my hero. Never been my employee, ever, ever, never. I never been that man's boss. Not that I wouldn't want to find an employee like Jim. I just couldn't afford him. appreciate you sticking around. 844-967-2789. And don't forget, you can hear Jim on the Saturday mornings, 9 to 11, morning cannoli. Cannoli singular. Apparently the plural of cannoli is also cannoli.
Cannolo? I'm not clear. I think I know these things. I love cannolis.
Cannoli. 844-967-2789. Dom, I think the Jenna Ellis, I think that one's going to be a little damning. And it's encouraging for me to hear Jim Santel explaining from an evidence point of view that this will be admissible, because I thought it might be a problem. I thought it was actually Scafino saying what the boss was saying, right? It wasn't actually Trump saying that Jenna Ellis,
right,
we're not going to leave. It was Dan Scafino saying to Jenna Ellis, the boss says he's not going to leave. But apparently, and I had seen some other legal takes on this, he's also pretty incriminated, the Dan Scafino character. So he is, descriptors would also be admissible under some legal stuff that I don't
know. Some understand. Legal doctrine stuff.
Yeah, that's why he knew when Jim's giving me credit for asking smart questions. I'm like, not this guy. Pretty clear it was me. 844-967-2789. I leave all the smart stuff for the audience and occasionally dumb. Jack from the Mac. Jack, I'm trying to read the note here. Many Republican voters don't care whether or not he's guilty. What can we do about that? I don't know, Jack. What do we do about that? Dom's guilty as hell.
Char's never convicted, well, Jack.
Yeah, I was going to say he was never convicted. That's right. I have hopes that Trump will be, whether he'll actually serve, and I don't mean as president again or not. That's another question. But, in any case, it seems pretty, I mean, it's been obvious since the January 6th commission hearings, and I actually listened to most of them. It's been pretty clear that Trump and a few of his cohorts tried to engineer what was essentially a coup against the United States. And what's really scary about this whole thing, though, is it's very clear also that a very large bunch of high-level Republicans were involved. I mean, Fitzgerald in setting up the meeting for the false electors, Johnson in attempting to deliver the false electors, Van Orden in clearly being shown in a place where he shouldn't have been, in the U.S. Capitol, in the middle of what was essentially a violent attempted coup. Anybody that is even described as a so-called right-leaning independent can vote for any Republican or trust them after this, and especially since virtually none of them has disavowed any of this conduct.
Jack, why are you?
It just amazes me.
Why are you being all pessimistic? Let me cheer you up a little bit. You sound like a cynic, like my buddy Dom. My tequila glass is half empty. Jack, let me encourage you for just a minute. Some of the polling we've seen out recently, have you seen what it says? What would happen to Donald Trump upon conviction? What that would do to the opinions of independent voters? He would lose the middle, Jack. Effectively, the middle collapses with his not indictment, clearly, because people aren't really, really paying close attention. And even the second impeachment, well, he was acquitted, right? Because there were very few Republican senators of any sort of courage. I think Mitt Romney, the lone dissenter. But Jack, if a jury of his peers in a federal trial convict this man, and I'm not clear that he wouldn't lose his Secret Service protection, wouldn't it minimum go under some sort of house arrest? And I don't think it should happen in Mar-a-Lago, but let's set that aside for a minute, Jack. But upon conviction, his political support from the middle collapses.
The problem with that, though, is that the Republican political support doesn't. And like I said, I'd go so far as to say at least half of the Republicans now in office either were aware of this or were supporting it. That's the scary thing, and that so-called right-leaning middle will continue to support them is my worry. Now, I'm hoping you're right, and I think probably you are, because if there's a conviction here, I think there's going to be a few other dominoes that may fall. But the polls basically say if Trump gets out of the way, then Nikki Haley can beat Biden. And I mean, this is,
but it's not going to be that clean, Jack. I mean, Trump is your probable Republican nominee. Why? Because even the J6 trial that Crudy's so looking forward to, the federal trial in the D.C. district, Judge Chutkan, that's the Jack Smith, the special counselor.
Right.
That doesn't start until the day before Super Tuesday. And Donald Trump's going to damn near have it wrapped up, if not by that Tuesday night, shortly thereafter. There's not going to be convictions in place at that early point in the electoral cycle. But relative to the Republican primaries, man, this guy's already going to be your presumptive nominee. I mean, he's there already, but the actual electoral numbers will be in his column. And then what happens when he is convicted, Jack? That's when the real trouble starts. I mean, the chaos that's going to happen to the Republican Party is not going to fail to fall upon, the Mike Johnsons, the Derek Van Ordens. It's going to be blood on all their hands, I think, Jack. They're not going to be able to escape the Trump poison.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the dominoes will start to fall. And I'm really sincerely hopeful. And don't get me wrong, I'm not a total pessimist, but it still bothers me that in spite of all this stuff, the obvious fact that, and they're out there, they're all over the news, they're all over the internet, and the biggest thing that people are worried about, the biggest two things that people are worried about and will not vote for Biden, he's too old, excuse me, and Trump isn't, and the economy is going great guns. I mean, you know, it just people. I don't know. I it bothers me. That's all. I'm hopeful that you're right, though.
Thank you,
I'm
Josh.
Often
I'm hopeful
right.
That he's right too.
I'm very confident on this point. I think that
Here's the thing. I mean, it's certainly, you know, Trump is leading. There's been no indication that he's going to give up that lead anytime soon as, you know, more and more folks drop out of the Republican primary. And certainly he could go into Super Tuesday and his January 6th trial in March with it basically in hand. But that doesn't mean he's going to come out at the end of the convention as the guy. And presumably, if you walk it through, he gets convicted prior to the convention here in Milwaukee in 2024. And that chaos that you speak of, Kurt, is going to be in our backyard, man.
I live in Middleton, man. It's going to be in your backyard, but I'll be visiting. I'll be in the yard too. I'll be out there playing with you.
This is a very real deal. And I think, you know, Jack, you make a couple of points. One is the mask coming off of some of the righties. You know, I mean, if you would embrace the authoritarianism just to get your policies, you know, enacted, you don't deserve the democracy that we have. I mean, certainly the other flip side of that, of course, is that if that's how you're going to run things, you know, you can't imagine that would be your way all the time forever. So when you engage in that behavior, you have to assume your adversaries will ultimately at some point engage in that behavior. And that's, you know, that's a downward spiral. We don't want to do that. We should aspire not to do that. And it shouldn't be the conviction of Donald Trump that would eventually, you know, perhaps turn away some of the Trump supporters to either stay home or engage another candidate, whatever the case may be. If you're paying attention, you can look at the facts that are publicly known right now and make your own assertions. But okay, say it's going to take the conviction for you to eventually, you know, turn away. Well, then why the embrace of the authoritarian in the first place? That's the concerning part.
I am less.
And I would just say that what we need to do to convince them is to point out the very simple facts that if you engage in that behavior, you should expect it to also fall upon you. And I don't think that that's the really thinking it through in that regard, Jack.
Well, a couple of thoughts for you, my friend. A, I think it's not that the Trump supportive, the Trump Davidians, I think you recently called them.
Bannon self-labeled, yes.
They're not going to change their minds, dude. They're not going to change their minds simply because the man is convicted. Hell, they'll probably vote for him twice. Who's going to change their mind is the middle. And I don't think that they are specifically Trump supportive in the middle. I think far too often, supposed independents are really low information voters. Now, I know there are some in the middle. I used to call myself an independent, and I thought I was pretty politically aware. Just never joined the blue team or the red team. But a preponderance of my votes were usually for the blue team. Not exclusively, but a preponderance. So I thought I was like a conscientious independent, if you know what I'm saying. But I don't think that's what the vast majority of independents are. I think they're people that get busy at work and life and they just aren't into politics in the same way we are. Because the real partisans, they stay lit up. A lot of them stay lit up all 4 years, right? If you're tuning into Vicki McKenna this afternoon instead of the greatest radio show ever, they never cool down because she keeps them fired up all the time. But I got to tell you, those that swing and make late decisions and inform themselves late, if Trump is convicted, he will be unelectable, and I think the Republican Party will effectively be unelectable. Who, other than what, Chris Christie, has tried to draw any distinction between themselves and Donald Trump? Vivek Ramaswamy? Nikki Haley? I mean, none of them. DeSantis? DeSantis hates the guy, and he still won't stand up to him on a debate stage. So it's not like any of the undercard are actually going to take Trump out. And it's not like
the greater point, though, I think, and sure, I get your point on the independents. And obviously, there's lots of people that don't engage, that don't vote, that if they actually got off their ass and did vote, we wouldn't necessarily be in these situations that we are in. Put that on you, you non-voters and the low propensity voters. It's okay. I was once one of you. But what does it portend for a party that would allow a convicted fraudster civilly liable for rape? You know what I'm saying? Stealing government secrets to the nth degree, you know, jawboning, sharing these secrets with at least other billionaires from Australia, TikTok down the list. What does it say about that political party that would accept that, embrace that, man? I mean, that's the concern. And that party is going to be having a party here in Milwaukee next year. I mean, is there no coming back from this for that party? That's my concern, man.
For the Republicans, no, I don't see how they do. Not in their current form. I mean, how do you pretend like Trump never happened? Next year, 4 years from now, you can't just flop back and say, oh, we're back to picking Mitt Romney moderates. You know, other than that whole binder of women thing, you know, he's our guy. Because the base will never support him. This newly created low propensity voter, the MAGA base, because Trump hated the right people or said all the things they always wanted to say and gave permission to them, to their baser instincts. Now, they're not going back in the closets or the woods or under the rocks or in their baskets with the other deplorables. They're not going to be put in a corner. But I also don't think they're going to come out and vote for Nikki Haley. I mean, they're not voting for Nikki Haley. Very few. The are no matter who sorts will. But those of conscience long since got off the Trump train. There's just so few of them. The rest of them, they're all aboard. Don't be left out, because I hear he's going to be our nominee for a third time. And when I say our, I mean all the people on Casey Jones's train back there. Come back. Devil's Advocates. One last segment. You could be the star. Just dial us up. 844-967-2789.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Hour, last segment of the day. Join us 844-967-2789. Stick around. The Maggie Dawn Show coming up next.
Dom, couple of thoughts. One, the whole CJ thing, I'm being sincere about that. And in fact, I don't even know if I mentioned this to you. I had a pre-interview with CJ today.
Wow. Sorry I missed it, Nod.
I had him on the phone for about 35 minutes. He was nearly human. You wouldn't even believe it's the same guy. So I'm going to surprise you. We're going to play this out next week. He and I have a scheduled appointment to record like a Thanksgiving conversation. Conservative confessions.
A fireside chat, Crudy.
Crudy and CJ hanging out and hugging it out. I bet by the end, well, unfortunately, CJ is out of state currently, so will not be in studio. If I want to do this now with CJ, I got to do it via Zoom or something. He said his fiance would have to help him figure out the Zoom. I said, I know what
that's okay, boomer.
Exactly. I would probably, you know, potentially also need a little hand if I didn't do this for a living, Dom. You know, being super cool.
I get it. And I know some of our, we had a caller, I believe from Middleton even yesterday, you know, lamenting that we talked to CJ and the circular conversation and all that. And I get it. You know, I mean, I think the thought of engaging with, I'm down generally engaging with those who don't think like us. I'm down with the conversation. I think we can, you know, have constructive dialogue. But sometimes it's also a waste of time. But that being said, I just, what is the proper reaction? I mean, I think Donald Trump, you know, I'm not a fan. I think he's done some bad things, and assuming he gets convicted on some of these things, how am I supposed to address, and what's the proper way to address the Republicans or whatever's left of the MAGA or the Trump supporters? Hey, you supported a criminal X, Y, and Z. Hey, your judgment said, yeah, the man having all these, you know, secret boxes down at Mar-a-Lago, you thought that was okay. Well, he's convicted for that. He's convicted for the fraud. He's convicted for, you know, trying to incite, for inciting this coup against America. He's convicted for doing that. And you, Republicans, you MAGAs, you backed him. You supported him. You backed him when he was doing it. You backed him when he was accused of crimes. You backed him when he was indicted. You backed him when he was convicted. And you still back him now? How am I supposed to be honest and thoughtful on the other side of the table with someone who I believe is and set aside all the religious and cultural things that I disagree with a lot of folks on, would actively try and have shown the propensity to engage in behavior to cancel out my vote, to cancel out the majority of people's votes, to cancel out democracy? How am I supposed to be like, oh, well, that's okay now. What do you think about the capital gains tax rates? You know what I mean? How am I supposed to do that?
Well, with that accusatory tone you take, you're certainly going to make Thanksgiving uncomfortable for Uncle Helmet.
He'll be fine.
And a few others, perhaps. I would say, first and foremost, accusatory tones, to my opinion, do not change anyone's opinion. Know what I mean?
Accusatory of what, though? I mean, I'm not accusing. I'm just stating facts. You supported the guy in my.
Why
my
would you still do that?
Yes, that's accusatory. Yes, why? Why and how? Not only why you, put it on me. How am I supposed to take you seriously? How am I supposed to take your positions and your thoughts and your history and your experiences and think, oh, that's somebody I should have a serious conversation with? How is that accusatory, man?
Well, here's the problem. We all know how to get in a fight with our Uncle Helmet, our Uncle Rick, our Uncle Tim, our Uncle Bob, whoever our uncle is.
You stand your butt up.
Hey, as consenting adults, we can do this right here.
Right? No. Yeah, it's not a fight, man. I'm talking about how am I supposed to engage in civil dialogue with someone who tried to subvert democracy? I mean, literally do it.
But the individual voters didn't. I don't think CJ was at the Capitol on January 6th, was he? And the fact that he might still be supportive of a candidate that would entertain that, I think bears a longer conversation, because if I want to change his mind, I'm going to have to bring some things to his attention. But it is my belief, Dom, that, you know, you win more conversations with honey, you know, because I'm such a sweet talker of people. I would never use those harsh accusatory tones.
You're better off hitting them over the head with a roll of $100 bills and a lead pipe. I get that part of it, man. But it's not. If we're talking about facts here, if we're talking about the convictions of Donald Trump and their support for those people, how should it not reflect upon them?
I'm not saying it shouldn't, but I'm not gonna cast the orange tea upon every Trump voter forever, Dom. I'm gonna let him off the hook, man. And you can have any conversation with CJ you want, or fight with your Uncle Helmet or whoever else. But I'm gonna try it a little bit different. I'm gonna see if I can make a little headway. And you're right. I can accuse with the best. I got an excellent memory. I got an enemies list in my home, own at home, right? Trump's got nothing on this guy. But I'm just telling you, if you think you want to bridge that divide and find something other than a political argument to have with that Trumpster uncle or whatever the case may be, if you want to know for sure if there's any redeeming quality in them, and I'm not saying in every human being there is, but I strongly believe from the prior conversation I had today, you're going to be shocked at how forthcoming CJ is, what's going on behind those, you know, beady little eyes some days. There's a little going on there. He's a thoughtful guy. He just gets nervous on the radio. I mean, he even admits to it. He's like, you know, I listen to other conservatives and they make better points. I just get so overwhelmed and I get nervous and anxious. This is like my blood sport. But, you know, self-awareness, though, that's a start point. Like, I'm aware on your behalf that you're often pessimistic and accusatory.
Accusatory.
As a panelist, as a co-panelist, I'm helping you realize are what
exactly am I accusing people of, Curdy?
Well, sometimes the truth hurts, but you're not going to win them over by hitting them over the head with your truth.
It's tough love, man. That's what it is. And if you're going to sit at the table, you got to earn the right to be at the table, man. That's the problem.
Or what? You're going to
talk,
send them to the kids' table?
And what about in Hunter's laptop, man? That's what. Cut and run, Biden. That's what.
You know, you can move beyond those conversations and have real conversations with pretty much anybody except Dom sometimes. Yeah. Thank you, James Santel. That was a fine conversation. Stick around. Maggie Dawn and Anastasia, they'll have a nice conversation. And then Joel Clayfish, he'll have a nice conversation as well because he's not Dom. Have a great night.